All right, so because it's Mother's Day, you get to hear from me today. Yay. All right. Sorry, my notes are all messed up here. Let me sure I have them right. I lost a page first service, like went flying down on the floor and like, yeah, so, okay. Any DC or Marvel fans in the room? Yeah, we got quite a few. I'm kind of just there with my boys. My boys are DC and Marvel fans, some more DC, some more Marvel, and you have to ask them which ones they are. I can't keep track. But they have their favorites. I have my favorite superhero, which I was told this morning is DC, and it's Wonder Woman. Because I couldn't have told you whether she was Marvel or DC. It's Wonder Woman. And partly because she is a woman, but also because I just like what she stands for. And when the latest Wonder Woman movie came out, I was going through some stuff in my life, and someone had spoken a word over me and said, "You are a warrior," and I just kind of brushed it off and didn't really take it to heart. And then I saw the movie, and I identified with her quite a bit, and actually saw the movie twice. I don't watch movies more than once, and I saw it twice because it just really struck me. But this morning I will talk about a few things, some of her attributes, and one of them is immortality. Wouldn't it be great to live thousands of years and not age? And still be amazing. Wouldn't that be great? But that's why she's a superhero. Another one is advanced senses. She has advanced hearing, advanced vision, and she can fight a battle blindfolded. Like, who does that? Who does that? Superhuman strength. She can bend objects, she can lift vehicles, she can break through walls. She's just a superhuman. Flight. She defies gravity. Wouldn't that be great to be able to fly? Would save a lot of energy, right? Yeah. And she's skilled with her weapons, with her sword, her shield, her lasso, all the things that she does. She's very skilled. She is a warrior. And she's pretty amazing. But you know what? She's a fictional character. But we also have that in us. God put warriors in us. We're not supposed to just go through this life and just kind of muddle through. But we're supposed to go through this life with a warrior mentality. When someone spoke that word over me, I did not see that in me. I did not get that in me. But as I've gone through life and as I've grown in my relationship with the Lord, I can see it more and understand it more. But we all have that in us. We all have it in us. We need it in us, actually. We need it in us because we have financial hardships. We have relationship hardships. We have parental issues. We have career pressures. And we all have a lot of inner battles going on. Lies that we believe. We tend to doubt ourselves. We have fear. We have trauma, we have abuse, we have insecurities, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Things that we battle within us. So how do we win these battles? I want to remind you, our word of the year is fight. Today, this year, we're learning how to fight our battles. But today we're going to look at a person in the Bible who did this well. And Wonder Woman, Superman, and all those superheroes, those are fictional characters, but all the people in the Bible are real people. They're not fictional, they're real people. And today we're going to talk about Deborah in the book of Judges. And Deborah came on the scene when the Israelites were in captivity for over 20 years, and they were at a point where they were just like frustrated at the end of themselves, and they were saying, God, we need help. We need help. And so God sends Deborah. And I chose Deborah today because she was a mother of Israel. And in Judges 5, verse 7, it says, villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, arose. Until I arose a mother in Israel. She held high positions in Israel and considered herself a mother to Israel. She fought for her family. But today we're going to be in Judges 4, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. And it says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth Hagoyim. I think that's right. Maybe. Because he had 900 chariots filled with iron, fitted with iron, and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lebadoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh to Naphtali, and said to him, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Certainly I will go with you, said Deborah, but because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command, and Deborah also went with him. So the title of today's message is The Warrior Within. The definition of a warrior: an ordinary individual who finds the strength to endure and persevere in spite of overwhelming obstacles. That's why I'm saying we are all warriors. We're ordinary people who have to face obstacles in our lives, and it's up to us whether we're going to choose to step into being a warrior or not. In the story of Deborah in Judges, there are several heroes in this story, but today we're just going to focus on Deborah and who she was and how she stood up. We're focusing on Deborah today. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll jump into these points. So God, I thank you. We thank you for Deborah and the position that she held, and how she responded, and the choices that she made, and we get to learn from her today. So God, I thank you for putting the story of Deborah in your word so that we can learn and so that we can grow. So Holy Spirit, will you come and just speak through me? I pray for mindsets to change and for hearts to be changed and for your truth to be spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. So warriors win by listening for God's voice. Judges 4, verse 6, she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you." She is speaking what God has said. "The Lord of God, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them to Mount Tabor." She's repeating what God has said. This is what God is saying. She consistently listened to God, consistently listened for his voice. A little bit about Deborah. We don't know a lot about her as far as her background. She could have came from the tribe of Ephraim. We're not sure. We don't know anything about how she grew up, her parents. We do know that she was a wife of Lapidoth, but we don't know anything about him, like what was their marriage like. We don't know that. We know she was a wife. We also know she was a mother. We just read that in Judges 5. And whether she was a biological mother, we don't know, that she doesn't have children listed, but she was a mother of Israel. Which, being a spiritual mother, is super important. Amen. It's very important. So she had a very important position as a mother as well. She was also a judge. God gave the people of Israel a female judge. She was the only female judge among other judges. She had a powerful position. She needed to hear from God. She was also a prophetess. She was a spokesperson for God. People went to hear from God. She held high positions. And just because we're not a judge or a prophetess, if we are a wife, a husband, a mom, or a dad, those are high callings. Simply existing in this world and doing life well is a high calling. No matter where you are in life, we need to hear from God. Deborah held all these positions, and the people, she needed to hear from God for the people, and that the people needed her to hear from God. It was not just a desire or like, oh, she has to do this. It was a need. So I have a question for you to ask yourself. How often do I listen for God's voice? Just ask yourself that. How often do I listen for God's voice? Is it just every once in a while? Is it just when we need something from him, or you have a situation come up, you just need to hear God's perspective, or you need his input on a decision, or is it all the time? There have been times when I'm driving and I will ask, and I have a choice of multiple routes that I can take somewhere. I have asked the Lord, which way do you want me to go? Do you want me to turn right, or do you want me to go straight? He cares about those things. He cares about the details. And he's always ready to speak to us. God wants to speak to us. We are his kids. Just as parents, we love talking with our kids, right? He wants to speak to us. We need him. Oh my goodness. Do we not need to hear his voice? We need to hear his voice. So then, along with listening for God's voice, Warriors also win by fully trusting and obeying God. Fully trusting and obeying God. Deborah did this well. She did this well. In Judges 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah, "but because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. Then the end of verse 10, it says, Deborah also went up with him. The thing is that she was a wife and a mom, a judge and a prophetess. She was not part of the army on the front battle lines. But this was part of God's plan, and she trusted him. She had heard from God enough that she trusted him enough to do this, to say, "Yes, I will go into battle." I'm guessing it wasn't easy. You know, I can't imagine what that must have been like. But she said, "Yes, I will go." Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." So trust in the Lord and submit to him, choosing to come under his leadership and saying yes. Some things that may be hard for us to say yes to. It could be changing jobs. Do you have a job that you really like and God is saying, "No, I want you to take this other job because I have something for you over here"? Or moving away. Moving out of your parents' house, moving to the next state, moving across country, or moving across the world. Those can be hard decisions. Or how about loving the hard to love? Oh. Or forgiving the person that has really hurt you, and that person really doesn't deserve to be forgiven, but the Lord says, forgive. Those are hard. We're going the extra mile for some you don't want to go the extra mile for. Those can be really hard. It takes courage to trust God. It takes courage to obey, because sometimes he asks us to do hard things. It takes courage to do that. Deborah had to muster up a lot of courage to go into battle with Barak. I found this quote by David Jeremiah, and it says, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but resolving to trust and obey God in the face of our fears." Having courage doesn't mean that you're not afraid, but it's choosing to trust and obey God even in the midst of the fear, and trusting that he's got you. So a question: what does trusting God and choosing obedience look like for me? Is he asking you to do something that you're just like, you're hesitating on, you're not wanting to do it? What's he asking from you? And what are you going to choose? Because it is a choice. Trusting is a choice. And obeying is a choice. There are choices that we have to make. God doesn't force us to do it, but he lets us choose to trust him. So when obedience is hard, what is helpful for us? It starts with choosing to trust him. It starts with trust. Some ways that we can trust God is trust that God is good. I think many times we hear the phrase, "God is good," all the time, "God is good." And I think we've overstated it. And we just kind of brush it off and we just kind of move on. But it's actually really true. It's really true. He never hurts us. He always has our best interests in mind because he's good. Do we go through hard stuff? Yeah, life hands us really hard things, but doesn't change the fact that he's good. We can also trust that God is merciful. He has so much compassion towards us, you guys, because we're imperfect and we're not always going to do this well. We're not always going to do this well. I remember when my kids were babies and they were learning how to walk. And y'all remember, y'all know this, if you've worked with kids or you're a parent, your kid is trying to learn how to walk. They take that first step and you're like so excited. They take that first step and then they fall. But you're still so proud of them and still so excited. This is the beginning of something, you know? And then they take two or three or four steps, and then they fall. And you celebrate that, right? Our Heavenly Father does the same thing for us. We take that first step. We try that first step, and we mess up. He's like, it's all right. Get back up. Try again. Get back up. When we mess up, when we don't do it right, it's okay to get back up and try again. The Lord knows that. He knows we're not perfect. He knows we're going to mess up. That's why he has so much mercy and so much grace for us. Thank goodness. Get back up and try again. Trust that God knows what he's doing. That's a big one. Trust that he knows what he's doing. He is always working, even when we don't see it. He knows what he's doing. Almost 20 years ago, my family and I were in a car accident, which a lot of you know that, and my life did a 180 instantly. In a split second, my life changed. I became a single mom, and my son had a spinal cord injury, and we had broken bones everywhere, and it was a mess. It was bad. And I remember one time I was in my bedroom and I was just having it out with God. I was asking him why. I was like, what are you thinking? I had it out with him. And I wanted to understand it. Because I was just trying to get through it. I was just trying to keep my head above water. And he said this to me. He said, it's okay for you to not understand it all. It would be too much for you to handle if you understood it all. Trust me in this. And I had a choice to make at that time. Was I going to trust him? Was he trustworthy enough for me to make that choice? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's a choice we have to make. Another one is trust that obedience leads to blessing. I have never, in my 30 plus years of being a Christian, I have never regretted trusting God and obeying him. Not once. I have never looked back and said, oh man, I shouldn't have said yes to God. What was I thinking? I have never said that, and I never will. Because choosing obedience brings blessing every single time. We don't always see it right away, but every single time it brings blessing. It's always worth it. Even when it's hard, it's always worth it. Our last point for today is warriors win by giving glory to God. So in Judges 4, it's a story of Deborah and Barak, and in the end of the chapter 4 is also the story of Jael, who comes on the scene. And it's a story of the battle that happens. And in chapter 5 is the song that Barak and Deborah wrote after the battle was won. And it's a beautiful, beautiful song of giving God all the glory. I would encourage you this week, read Judges 4 and 5 and just kind of sit on it. And it's an amazing story. We just don't have time to go through it all today. But Deborah, she gives God all the glory. It was a battle well fought, but she gave him all the glory. Judges 5, verses 1 through 5, it says, on that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song. When you, Lord, went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water, the mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai before the Lord, the God of Israel. And she goes on and on and on and on, just giving God all the credit for everything that he did. Do we do that? Or do we take the credit ourselves? Look at what I did. I did that really well. Ooh. I'm going to take away your blessing if you do that. Give God the glory. He's always working behind the scenes. When Deborah was and Barak were in the battle, I'm sure it was hard, but they fought well. And in the end, they can look back and give God the glory. I remember after our car accident, it was hard going to physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, recreational therapy, almost any therapy that there could be. We did it. For months. It was hard. Thankfully, I had family helping me out. I didn't have to do it all. I had family helping me. It was hard. I was just trying to breathe through it. But almost 20 years later, I can look back. God was all over it. He was all over it. He had so much grace in that season for me. Oh my goodness. I remember a few months before my husband died in that accident, we were having a conversation, and he just randomly said to me, if one person comes to know Jesus because of my death someday, then it's worth it. And it happened. A week after the accident, one of my friends accepted Christ because of John's death. and he's doing ministry today. God was working. He had a plan. I didn't know it at the time. I mean, when my friend Josh accepted Christ, at the time, I was like, go, God. But I was trying to breathe. I was trying to survive. I was like, okay, that was God, and I'm moving on. But 20 years later, I was like, whoa, that's amazing. That's just one of the hundreds, thousands of things that he did. People's perspective on their lives changed. I learned how to ask for help. That was a big one for me. Because I'm a pretty independent person, and that was a hard one for me to learn, was to ask for help. But I was in a position where I didn't have a choice but to ask for help. And I can look back and like, okay, that was God. So, what is he teaching you in what you're going through right now? What's God teaching you? What's he saying to you? What's he wanting to do? Because he's in it with you, if you let him. He's in it with you if you let him. And in the end, give God all the glory. Give him the glory he deserves. So warriors win by listening for God's voice, fully trusting and obeying God, and giving God all the glory. It's a choice that we make.